At 6 o'clock for a Sunday evening service, we're still in our series entitled The Place of the Dead, What Happens When One Passes On. Fascinating series, and the Bible has so much to say about it. Good stuff. We're on week 5 on that, by the way. They're all posted on the website, too, previous weeks. Well, let's grab our hymnals at this time, and we'll stand for our final hymn this morning. Hymn number 29 is one of our favorites because it talks about our eternal home, which is heaven, amen? I'm glad of that, boy. And we're going to sing the first, third, and fourth. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He prepared for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Won't us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day? Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty we'll behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Yeah! Woo-hoo! Oh, praise the Lord, church. Please be seated. Oh, I love that. They're a rowdy bunch this morning. They love Jesus. Oh, wow. You know, I'm so thankful for a spirit-filled church.
Amen.
You know, that we don't have religion, we have salvation.
Amen.
We have a relationship with the living God, and He's coming back for us, church. Oh, how exciting it is to live in the day in which we live, the last days of the last days. And all He's looking for is faithfulness.
Yes,
amen. Amen. We just need to stay faithful.
Amen.
Everything's in the Lord's hands. I'm so thankful for that. Well, folks, this morning let's open up our Bibles to the Old Testament book of 2 Kings, chapter number 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. And let me ask a question in starting this morning. Have you ever been in a situation that is just desperate? Have you ever faced a problem that you have no control over?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever been in a place where you need God?
Amen.
Well, I want to bring your attention to a woman in the Bible this morning that was right there. And we can learn so much from her. In 2 Kings chapter 4, Elisha, the prophet, has taken over for Elijah. And you remember what happened when Elijah ended his ministry? He was raptured. He went up in a chariot of fire. And Elisha said, "Oh, my Lord, small L, if I could have a double portion of your spirit, I really serve God." And he said, "If you see me ascend into heaven, you shall have it." And he did. And Elisha performed exactly twice as many miracles as Elijah did in his lifetime, because he received a double portion. And here is the man of God in chapter number 4 confronting a widow woman who is in desperate need. And it has to do with her children. Look with me here in 2 Kings chapter number 4 will stand for the reading of God's holy word, beginning in verse 1. We read, and I want to speak to you this morning of a sermon I've entitled, Hand Me Another Job. Verse 1, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my 2 sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, and shut the door upon her, and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet another vessel, hand me another jar. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. I want to speak to you on hand me another jar. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for this poor widow woman who didn't have 2 mites to rub together, and how we thank you, Lord, that you took care of her greatest problem in life. Lord, I'm so thankful this morning that just like this woman, you have already taken care of our greatest problem in life, which was a sin problem. You removed them, you forgave them, and you washed them away in your blood. We thank you, Lord. My pastor in New York always said, if you're saved, your greatest problem in your life is already taken care of. And it's true, Lord. Everything else is minor. And so, Lord, help us to look through your word today, through the eyes of faith, and see that you are the miracle worker, and that there is no problem too great for thee to solve. Amen. And Lord, help us increase our faith in thine ability to take care of every issue in our lives. Amen. In Jesus' holy name, the people said, amen. 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 Please be seated, church. Hand me another jar. Beloved, one New Year's Day, you know they have the Tournament of Roses parade out there in California? A beautiful float suddenly sputtered and quit. It was out of gas. The whole parade was held up for 60 minutes until someone could get a can of gas for that float. The amusing part of it was that this float represented the Texaco Oil Company. With its vast oil resources, its truck was out of gas. Now, often, Christians neglect their spiritual maintenance. And though they have all of God's power available to them, yet find themselves out of gas spiritually, out of fuel, out of the precious oil of God's Holy Spirit. You been there? My hand's up. Which said that oil is so vitally important to healthy spiritual living. That is where we find this poor woman and her 2 sons in chapter 4. She is out of resources. She's come to her end of her rope. And she needs God. Oh, beloved, I've got a message for you today concerning this poor widow woman. Have you ever run out of time? Have you ever run out of options? Resources? Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you were completely out of any option whatsoever? That's where she is in verse 1. She saw that there were lots of vessels, plenty of vessels, but they were all empty. She had nothing. And when they were all empty, the oil stopped. She had nothing to offer the creditor except her faith. There was one thing that this world couldn't take from her, and that was her faith in God. Amen. Beloved, you have, I like how Peter puts it in 1 Peter chapter 1. He says, it's like precious faith. It's precious. It's more valuable than all the gold in Fort Knox. Your faith is so precious. I want to give you a few things this morning that we need to learn from this widow. as I preach a sermon I've entitled, Hand Me Another Jar. The first thing we notice right off the bat is how she came. Notice how she came. She came with a great problem. Verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Oh, beloved, what a problem she faced. They're going to take her children and make them slaves. Listen to me, folks. The devil wants your kids. He wants to rob you of what rightfully belongs to you from God. And he'll do it if you let him. She came to the right place. Amen? She came to the man of God who could do something about it.
Yes.
He had power. He had a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. Oh, beloved, she had a great problem. There's nothing like a good problem to get us on our knees.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
You don't pray, God will give you something to pray about.
Oh, yes.
And sometimes it's unpleasant.
Yes.
Sometimes it's costly. Now listen, the bank was going to take her two sons and make them slaves. Her sons were her only commodity, her only means of survival now that her husband was dead. She had done all she could in her own strength. She came to her end. She had nothing more to give. That's the point where God wants to bring you. Where I have nothing to offer God except my faith in Him.
Yes, amen.
Amen? Beloved, listen to me. God is going to bring you to the end of your rope. You keep holding on to, I can do this and I can do that and I'm so spiritual giant. And God is going to bring you to this point where you have nothing to offer until you need Him. Like you need your next breath. She had lost her husband. She had lost her earthly possessions. She was about to lose her children. She was reduced to a little jar of oil. All she had left were death and debts. She had a serious problem. You and I face problems. And we've got the same God that she had to go to, the God of Israel. Teenage grandson. Grandma, nothing is working in my life. Grandma, how do you mean, grandson? Grandson, you know, at school, at home, my friends, my girlfriend, you know. Grandma, would you like some of the cake I'm baking? Grandson, sure, Grandma. Grandma, here, have a cup of cooking oil. Grandson, yuck, I can't drink that. Grandma, how about a couple of raw eggs? Grandson, gross, Grandma. Grandma, would you like a cube of margarine or some flour, maybe some baking soda? Grandson, come on, Grams, those are gross. I want some cake. Grandma, that's right. They all seem bad by themselves. But when you put them all together in the right way and slowly bake them in the oven, they make a great tasting cake.
Amen.
Amen. See, she was trying to get her grandson to understand that God has a reason for everything in our lives. And that somehow all these problems are working together for His ultimate good.
Amen.
Amen. We know who love God that all things work together for our good. She came with a great problem. But I see something else this morning. She came to the right place. She came to the right place, but she relied on the wrong things. Look at verse 1. Now, there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Now, beloved, listen. God doesn't owe you or me anything. God is the eternally self-sufficient Yehovah, the I Am. God didn't need to make us. But you know what? He did. And He loves us. And He wants us to come to Him with our problems. He's not indebted to us. But He graciously takes care of our problems. Yet how many of God's people make this same mistake that she made? In verse 1, Lord, I'm a Sunday school teacher. Lord, I'm a deacon. Lord, I sing in the choir. I tithe all my income. Lord, whoop-dee-doo. Folks, listen to me. God doesn't need you. God doesn't need me. God can get along just fine without me. Oh, yeah, probably better. He is awesome, and He doesn't need any of us. She came to the right place, the prophet, but with the wrong motive. My husband did this, and oh, he was faithful, and I love God. In 1992, Jimmy Johnson, head coach of the Miami Hurricanes, divorced his wife of 26 years when he left coaching the Miami Hurricanes to become head coach of the NFL's Dallas Cowboys. He said that he needed a wife while coaching on a college level for social functions and to show families that he would be looking out for their son's best interests at college. But in pro football, she was an unnecessary accoutrement. He said this. And a distraction to winning. He said winning football was his number one priority in life and his two sons second. He put football before his family. How tragic. Jimmy Johnson was relying on the wrong things in his life when he left his wife for a football team. But in contrast to him, a man named Tom Landry, a born-again Christian, who also coached the Dallas Cowboys, listen, he said, and I quote, "The thrill of knowing Jesus Christ is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. I think God has put me in a very special place here. The thrill of knowing him, and he expects me to use it for his glory in everything I do. Whether coaching football or talking to the press, I'm always a Christian first. Jesus Christ is first in my life. My family is second. Football's third." That's Tom Landry. And he won the Super Bowl. See, Tom Landry depended upon God for his success. He relied upon the right thing. And that's the Lord. Amen. Amen. We need to learn to rely on the Lord for our families, for our football team, for whatever it might be. Notice three phrases she uses in verse 1. Thy servant, my husband, I did. Uh-oh. Be careful. Don't be boasting to God about your accomplishments because he doesn't need them. Brethren, don't come looking for your rights and what's coming to you when you come to God. Just come looking for mercy, come looking for grace and undeserved assistance. He'll grant it. Amen? Despite us, I love that. She came with what she thought was important, but all she needed was an empty vessel. Amen? She didn't need to bring anything to God. Except an empty jar. But that's not all. Something else. She discovered what was really important. Look at verse 2. Here's a great discovery. And Elijah said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil." Now, beloved, listen carefully. Get a hold of what God is showing us here in verse 2. Notice the question of the prophet. And Elijah said unto her, "Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" What do you have that God can work through? What do you have to offer God that his power and ability can function through? Amen. Beloved, listen to me. God doesn't want you to give him something you don't have. God only wants to work through what you have to offer. And if you'll give him that little bit, oh, he will multiply it. He will work miracles. What insignificant little thing do you possess that God can work a miracle through? What useless, worthless, broken-down vessel do you have for God to do something great with? Folks, listen to me. God will take and use the most unsuspecting people to work through when he works. She's beginning to see and understand that her credentials were not what was important, but that whatever way God chose to help her is what really mattered. God wasn't looking for her credentials. He was looking for empty vessels. Amen? Now listen, I wonder, what do you have in the house now? What is available for God to multiply in your life? When asked why he had been so successful, Tom Landry, again, responded to a crowd of more than 2,000 students at Baylor University in 1958. He gave the commemoration. "I did something everyone who has been successful must do. I determined my priorities in my life. God first, family second, football last."
Amen.
That's what he told them, college kids. Amen. And he was so successful. But remember, the story of the feeding of the 5,000, they said, "Lord, we have nothing to eat. They have, they're thirsty." And the Lord said, "What do you have?"
Yeah,
what do we have? And the little boy came up and he said, I got 5 loaves and 2 little fishes. Jesus said, that'll work. That'll work just fine. And what did he do? He multiplied it and fed like 15 to 20,000 people, counting women and children. God can work through the least of things we offer. We all have something to offer the Lord. And notice the question. It's not what do you want to have, but what do you have? Amen? And the only thing she had was a vessel. But what she thought was nothing was about to become everything. Amen? Listen, she says, Elisha, all I have is a jar of oil. And you don't have to be a Bible scholar to understand that the Holy Spirit in Scripture is represented by oil throughout. Amen? She says, I got a little bit of oil. And if you've got a little bit of the Holy Ghost, you're in good shape. Because you have something this world doesn't have. Amen? She had what she needed for God to use. And that's the oil in that vessel. But something else. She discovered what was really important. But I see another great point. She obeyed the man of God and did what she could do. Look at verse 3. Then he said, go, borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. 5. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. What did she do? She did exactly what the man of God said. Oh, if God's people would only do what the man of God said. Wow! Man, we'd charge hell with a squirt. I mean, we would absolutely turn this world upside down. Amen? Because if the man of God is a man of God, he'll be saying what the word of God says.
Amen.
Amen? Now, listen carefully. She obeyed and did what she could do. And God blessed it. Amen? She could have walked away. She should have said, you're foolish. I'm not going to get no vessels. It's ridiculous. And she wouldn't have seen a miracle. And she wouldn't have been blessed. And she would have lost her family.
Amen.
Beloved, we must admire her immediate obedience to the man of God here. She didn't hesitate. She didn't have to wait and pray about it. So, folks, let me say something. There's some things you don't have to pray about.
Yes, amen. Yeah.
Should I pray?
Yeah.
Should I read my Bible? Should I give out gospel tracts? Should I tell people about Jesus? Should I put an offering in the plate? Should I come to church? You don't have to pray about that. Just do it. She did it and she was blessed. She took action as soon as she found out what God commanded. I love this. Listen, how we need a generation of believers that will not question why, but where and when, Lord.
Amen.
She heard the word and she obeyed the word. This book will not work in your life unless you do what it says.
Amen.
You know, there is another form of Christianity out there called the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. Name it and claim it. Send me your $1,000 seed and you'll get rich.
Oh, yeah.
Send me your $1,000 seed. If you really believe that. They don't believe that. They're laughing all the way to the bank. But if you do what the Bible says, you'll be blessed.
Yes.
He always blesses obedience. She had no idea why she needed to go and get the empty vessels. Hello? She didn't know why. She only knew that God told her through Elisha to do it. She obeyed the prophet. Imagine what her neighbors must have thought of her. Boy, she's really, Mrs. Jones, she's really lost it now. She's got nothing. She doesn't have 2 nickels to rub together, but she's asking me for empty vessels that she's going to pour some miraculous oil into? Okay, good luck with that. That's how the world looks at you and me. What do you mean Jesus is going to heal you? What do you mean Jesus will provide your needs? What do you mean Jesus protects you in your life? Take care of your every need. What do you mean? You crazy? No, I have faith. She had faith that God would do what he said he'd do.
Yeah.
A church member went to his pastor, the great Dr. Phillips Brooks, to tell him he was going, he led Helen Keller to the Lord, by the way, to tell him that he was going to the Holy Land. He said that it was his intention to visit Mount Sinai. In fact, the man told the minister, I plan to climb to the top of Mount Sinai, and when I get there, I'm going to read aloud the 10 Commandments. Thinking this would please Dr. Brooks, the church member was surprised to hear the pastor say, you know, I can think of something even better than that. The man responded, can you, pastor? And what might that be? Brooks replied rather bluntly, Just this. Instead of traveling thousands of miles to read the Ten Commandments on top of Mount Sinai, why not stay right here at home and try keeping them?
Amen. Amen. Yes.
You know what Brooks was saying? He's saying, you need to be obedient, yes, bud. Never mind traveling all over there and reading them out loud like you're Moses. Try keeping them right here at home. That's why. That's because obeying God's commands is much more important than knowing them. Hey, I can quote scripture. Ooh, I know all these verses off the top of my head. Do you keep them? Do you obey it? Something else, though. Quickly. Notice, she shut herself in with God. I like this. Verse 4. And when, Elijah talking to her, and when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Look at verse 5. And she went from him, and shut the door upon her, and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her. And she poured out. Now, notice here, beloved, that the prophet told her, you need to get along with God. You need to shut your door, take the phone off the hook, shut the television off, and put a do not disturb sign on your front door and pray to God.
Amen.
Listen,
amen.
God was about to work a miracle. And Elijah said, you need to get along with him and start praising him before you see it. Sometimes, beloved, we need to get along with God and pour out our hearts and tears unto him. Listen to me. Every child of God needs to have a special place, a meeting place that you and God are the only ones that know about. A place where you can get with the Lord without any distractions. She went in, she shut the door, she had business to do with God. I'm sorry, Mabel, I'm busy with God. I can't come for make some cookies right now. I got more important business to do. Now watch what she does. She began to pour the oil into the empty vessels. Verse 5. Did you catch that? Big and round, small and tall, painted and plain. Every kind of vessel was being filled with oil. They only had one thing in common. They were all empty. Amen? They were all empty. And they're being filled with oil. Do you want to be filled with the oil of the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
You'll have to empty yourself of self. And empty yourself of sin. Empty yourself of the world and the flesh and the devil. And let that oil fill you to overflowing. Oh, I love the fact that the vessels only needed one thing. Emptiness.
Amen.
Emptiness, so that God's oil could come in and flow out. Hey, folks, by the way, did you notice that when she filled the first vessel, there was more in the first one to fill the second, and so forth and so forth and so forth? That's a picture of the Holy Spirit in you flowing out to others.
Amen.
A whole bunch of empty vessels.
Amen.
Empty vessels out there and empty vessels over there. Fill them all, Lord,
amen,
with the oil of your Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, beloved, what a great spiritual truth we find here. Before God could use these vessels, they had to be empty. And if you and I want to be used by God's Spirit, we must first empty ourselves of ourselves. God is saying to the church today, where are the empty vessels? I want to fill them and work through them, but they know too much. They think they're great, and they don't understand that without my oil, they can't do anything at all. Listen to this verse, 2 Timothy 2:20. It says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet that's fit for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Do you want God to work through your life, beloved?
Yeah, yeah.
Listen to me. He says if you purge yourself, that's pure, that's sanctification, you'll be sanctified and fit for the Master's use.
Amen.
I don't know about you, church, this morning. There's only one thing I want in my life. My wife will tell you right quick. I only want to be used by God.
Yeah.
I only want to be used by God.
Yeah.
Don't offer me the lotto. Don't offer me Hollywood. Don't offer me riches. I want to be used by God. There is nothing more valuable, nothing more important in your life than being used by this great God we serve. She didn't bring her credentials or years of service to the Lord. She just brought empty vessels and said, Lord, would you fill them up? Would you fill them up? How he wants to fill us today. And all he wants is a heart that wants it. Woo! Do you have a special place where you regularly get alone with God? Because we need one. And we need to shut ourselves in and see the miracles begin to flow. But I see something else quickly. Notice her ability to receive ended before God's ability to provide did. Her ability to receive ended before God's ability to provide ended. Look at verse 6. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, hand me another jar. Bring me another vessel. And he said unto her, Mom, there is not another vessel more. And the oil stayed. That means it stopped. It didn't stop until she ran out of vessels. Because God's ability to provide is greater than our ability to receive. That is so good, that truth right there. His ability to provide is greater than our ability to receive. Wow! She said, hand me another jar. Sorry, Mom, there aren't any. Now, I want you to think with me, church, for a moment. What do you suppose would have happened if her sons kept finding and bringing more and more empty vessels? That's right. God would have kept on filling them up. The Arabs wouldn't have anything on this gal. She'd have all the oil in the Middle East. Amen. God is not limited in his ability to supply. We are limited in our ability to receive. We limit God.
Yeah.
It ought not to be.
Yeah.
We ought to believe God is able not just to fill this church, but to build us a bigger one. We ought to believe that we don't have to just support these 8 missionary families, but he can give us 8 more and 8 more and 8 more.
Yeah.
We need to believe that he is able. Oh, beloved, I'm so glad this morning that Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to his power that worketh in us, be glory forever and ever. Amen. He is able to do above that which we ask or think. Why do we have Wednesday night church family prayer meeting? Because he is able to do more than we ask God. What a God we serve. Beloved, I want to give you a story real quick. Me and Pepe. Pepe is a little boy, teenage boy out in the Philippines. 3 years ago, me and Pepe started a site called Bible Believers Group. You might have seen it on Facebook. It was just me and Pepe, 2 people. And Pepe said, hey, Pastor. And I'm preaching to Pepe on there, Bible Believers Group. And Pepe's, oh, Pastor, I love it, I love it. And I said, yeah, Pepe. He says, Pastor, you think anybody will join us? I said, yeah, Pepe, you pray. People will join us. And don't you know, today we have over 4,000 members on Bible Believers Group. And they hunger for the preaching of God. I post these sermons. Every day I post a new sermon on Bible Believers Group. And they just love it. Why? Because God is able to bless a little with much. Oh, I'm so thankful this morning that our God is able. But I see one more incredible truth from this passage, beloved. Don't miss this in closing. God not only filled her up, but he also sustained her for life. Look at me in verse 7. And then she came and told the man of God. You know what the man of God loves? When you come and tell him what God did.
Amen.
I love that. I love that.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. And he said, go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live. Notice the word, live thou and thy children of the rest. Amen. Beloved, listen very carefully to me. When you come to Jesus Christ, not only does he remove the greatest problem of our life, which is sin, but he tells you, now I want you to live an abundant life of peace and joy and power divine that nobody else in the universe can give you but me. Amen? Amen? Listen, notice the first thing she did. Before she did anything, she went to the man of God and told him what God did. Yeah, I like it. Do you know what really blesses the preacher's heart? When someone comes and tells him what great things the Lord had done for me. That's what makes ministry worth it all, beloved. When we see God working in the lives of the people we minister to. It's like, this book really works. The preaching of it has power to change your life. I can't do that, but this book and this Holy Spirit can. Now listen carefully. Notice the second thing she does in verse 7. Elijah tells her that she would be sustained for the rest of her life because of what? Her obedience to the word of God. Listen to me. When you make a determination, I am going to obey God. I am going to do what this book says. God's going to say, I'm going to roll up his sleeves for Sister Doris. I'm taking care of everything for her now. She's with me. She belongs to me. She's obeying my voice. I'm going to take care of her needs. Do you know what happens to a person when they come to God's Son? Listen now. They receive God's divine sustenance for all eternity. You're not just saved today. You're saved forever. He's your father forever. The devil can't have you. It's too late. You change families. That simply means that God puts himself in a position, listen to me, where he accepts personal responsibility for your eternal well-being. Did you hear what I said? God accepted responsibility for this gal's well-being and her family because she obeyed his voice. Is that beautiful? Does that teach you something? Do you think God can do that for you?
Yes.
Yeah, he can. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. I'm so thankful. He gives us everlasting oil. Hello? Everlasting oil!
Yes.
It's not Wesson! Listen! His precious Holy Spirit is the fountain of living waters that never runs dry.
Never.
It's the most precious oil a human being can receive. In John chapter 4, the woman at the well, the woman of Samaria said, Lord, show me this water. Give me this water so I can drink it. And the Lord said, not so fast. First call your husband. Knowing that it wasn't her husband. And she says, I don't have a husband. He says, yeah, I know. And that he who you're with now isn't your husband. You're living in sin. You know what Jesus was saying to her? He said, you want this living water? You can have it. But first, repent.
Yeah.
He put his finger right on her sin and said, take care of that first, and I'll give you all the living water you'll ever need.
Yes.
Repentance is a lost doctrine of the gospel. Nowadays, it's, just take Jesus along with your sinful life, and you'll be just fine. No, you won't! You know what the first words out of Jesus' mouth were in his earthly ministry? Begins with an R. That's right. Repent and believe the gospel. That was his first message. His first sermon. Mark chapter 1, you'll see it. But listen, folks. In closing, there is a tale of a young man who was seeking God. He went to a well-known and wise sage for help. He asked him, how can I find God? The old sage took him to a nearby river, and they waded out into the deep water. When the water got up to their chins, the old man took the young man by the neck and pushed him down under the water. He held the young man down until the young man was flailing the water in desperation. Another minute and the young man would have drowned. He finally let the young man up, and they found their way back to the bank, the shore. The young man asked him, what did this have to do with finding God? The old man asked him, while you were under the water, what did you want more than anything else? The young man said, air! The old man replied, when you want God as much as you wanted air, you'll find him. You'll find him.
Yeah.
You know what he was saying to that young man? You want to find God? You got to mean it.
Yeah.
You got to mean it. You got to be serious. When you take Jesus Christ, it's the most serious decision you ever make.
Right.
Christianity is no game.
Right.
You enter into warfare with the devil and his demons. That's no game. You got to be serious. This gal was serious. She got in her house. She shut the door. Do not disturb. And she said, Lord, let it flow. Let it flow. And it did. Oh, beloved, let me ask you today in closing. How empty are you? How much do you feel your need for God today? I can tell you one thing. This poor widow woman knew that she needed God. And she found him. But sadly, most people go through their entire lives never realizing that without God, they couldn't even breathe. Father in heaven, how we thank you. Hand me another jar. Lord, how we thank you that you're able to fill them all until we run out of empty vessels. Oh, Lord. Thank you for the poor widow woman, Lord, and the spiritual lessons we learned from her today. And Father, I pray at this time of invitation, somebody in this church has a need. Somebody needs to hit this altar. And I thank you, Lord, that when they come with an empty vessel, you're here ready to fill it up. We praise you for that this morning. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Let's grab our hymnals, beloved, and for a time of invitation. Oh, thank you, Lord. And as we open up at this time, 249, I'm so glad that his voice is gentle and he won't twist your arm behind your back. You got to want him.
Amen.
You've got to want him in your situation. Whatever that problem may be, we'll stand and we'll sing softly and tenderly. That's how he calls. Amen?
Amen.
In 249, we'll sing the first, second, and fourth, people. Altar is open if you need it. Oh, thank you, Lord. Whew. Yes.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me.
Amen. I love that.
Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling us, sinner, come home.
Amen. Before we sing again, every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, how we thank you this morning for the oil that never runs dry, thy Holy Spirit. And Lord, I thank you that in this congregation this morning, there are those who have needs. By an uplifted hand, you say, preacher, pray for me. I'm facing a problem. Hands are up all over. Okay, put them down. Almost everybody's hand is up. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you that though every one of us is facing some sort of difficulty in our lives, we all are, we thank you that you are over that problem. We thank you that all things are under your feet, Lord Jesus, even the devil. We thank you, Lord, that you are sovereign. You are ruling and reigning, and you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, that any trial, difficulty, problem we face, that you've got it under control and you will take care of it in your own way.
Yes.
Lord, thank you that like the poor widow woman, we just have to be obedient to your voice. Just follow the leading of the shepherd as good sheep. And Lord, we thank you that as we do, we come under the divine protection of your rod and staff. Lord, we thank you for that this morning. And we pray that you would meet every need of these uplifted hands. That, Lord, this week they would have an answer to that problem. That they would see the hand of God, Jesus Christ, taking care of that problem. And they would come to church next Sunday and say, Pastor, let me tell you what Jesus did for me this week. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen.
We tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me. Why should we linger and heed not His mercies? Mercies for you and for me.
Thank you, Lord.
Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home, earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love He has promised.
Think about it.
Promise for you and for me. Though we have sinned, He has mercy and pardon. Pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home, earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come.
Praise the Lord. Folks are still at the altar praying. And in an attitude of prayer, we're going to have Brother Mark dismiss us. And don't forget, if you can rejoin us tonight, we don't rush the Lord here. I thank you for that. But if you can join us tonight at 6 o'clock, we'll be back in the Word and we'll be worshiping again. Brother Mark.
Dear Jesus, thank you for the love of all of our hearts. Bring us closer and closer to you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord bless you all.